we've been talking about debt, and we've been talking about the importance of leadership and the fact that the president is basically, you know, being the president, which means that there's no leadership. There's nothing happening from the White House. He's been waiting for Republicans to come up with this. It was a great quote. I was, like I was talking about earlier, Thomas Sowell wrote an article last week, and I loved it. Sowell was talking about the importance of the debt ceiling law and why Moody's has recently suggested that it should be repealed in order to avoid, you know, fiscal crises that throw the world markets into turmoil, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, basically what Sowell was saying was that the national debt ceiling law should be judged by what it actually does, not what kind of a good idea it seems to be. And that's a quote. And the quote that crashed me was when he was talking about a friend of his who said, if you didn't invite me to the big takeoff, don't invite me to the crash landing, meaning that the president, you know, he's got this big spending spree and now he's asking for bipartisanship and leadership from both sides in order to, you know, make sure that the blame for this crisis is shared by both political parties. Well, I mean, I think we know who made the mess, right? The mess was made by the Democrats. The Democrats made this big mess, and they've decided that, you know, they want to, you know, have the Republicans share in the quote unquote blame for this. But, and I think Republicans do share in the blame, but I think the blame goes back to the Bush administration. I don't think this current Congress deserves any of the blame. I think some of the blame goes from 43 spending way too much money. I think that is part of the blame, and I think Republicans need to own up to that. And I think they did in the 2008 elections, by the way. Anyway, so we want to talk about the debt. We want to talk about the fact that, you know, they're going to be voting on a debt bill here pretty soon. But I wanted to talk about the consequences of this and why it's important and why this has kind of captivated the entire country over the course of the last week. And so what I did was I reached out to Brian Kilb from Landis & Associates. Brian is a financial planning expert. He's the chief operating officer of Landis & Company. And I have asked Brian to join us. Brian, welcome to News Talk 1130 WISN.
Hey, Ted, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks. And I noticed that the Dow has kind of stabilized, was down probably about 20-some points today. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I got up to a pretty good start, and then things cratered. You know, not some economic news today, including some manufacturing reports from the ISM that reminded people that the economy isn't going where we want it to. And, you know, while maybe we're feeling better about this whole debt ceiling thing, it's really the economy we're paying attention to. And spooked people, the markets were down about 130, the Dow was, and came back to end up down just, I think, 10 points to end of the day. So.
Okay. So we basically got back to where we were.
It went up and down today, Ted.
It went up and down, which is what we always talk about. Some days it goes up, some days it goes down. So let me ask you this question. You know, a lot of people have asked me, what does this mean to the markets? What does this mean to my money? What does this mean to the world's money if this thing somehow doesn't get done? And why is August 2nd so darn important?
Well, there's a couple different things going on there. And let's strictly talk about stocks for a minute, you know. And I think in the long run, what matters in the markets is interest rates and earnings. So pretty much anything you tell me about the economy or about politics or anything above and beyond interest rates and earnings in the long run isn't going to matter, you know, unless it affects those two things. And where are we right now? We're in an incredibly low interest rate environment with the earnings numbers from the last quarter that were I think stronger than most people would think was likely to happen. We have an earnings forecast for next year that shows 14% growth in earnings as we sit now. So if you're me sitting here today looking at just interest rates and earnings and stocks, you have reason to be pretty optimistic. Okay. Now you take a step backwards and you look at what's going on with the debt ceiling and the deficit, and it creates another, you know, complicated scenario insofar as, you know, we have some solvency problems. You know, unless we do something with this vote tonight, I mean, I don't know, August 2nd, I'm still not quite sure what that means, Ted. I mean, Tim Geithner said back in April that, you know, if we didn't do something by July, we were going to be in trouble. And then, you know, come May, we said it was August 2nd. I know we have a big interest payment due on Treasury debt August 15th, that seems to be a real date. But I quite frankly don't know. I don't know if anybody does what really happens tomorrow if we don't vote on this thing.
Well, right, exactly. And what I think would happen is just exactly the same thing would happen if the state of Wisconsin did something like this. We would basically, because we have to pass balanced budgets every year.
Right.
These guys can pass resolutions and they can do all this kind of stuff and they can print money, which is completely different. But what I would argue is going to happen is you're going to see them continue to kind of prioritize the spend down of any cash that's remaining, and then you'd be in a position where you would literally flip it and say, okay, this is now getting serious, and you know, we've got, you know, instead of days, we have hours, or you know, whatever they're going to do, and do a countdown clock. I would anticipate that that would be something that would happen.
Well, I mean, you're talking about, again, you're talking about a situation where you're managing cash in the short run, right?
Right.
That's a debt ceiling problem. You know, the bigger problem is the deficit and, you know, the combination of how do we balance our budget by either raising taxes or lowering spending. And, you know, if we get this thing done tonight, we've made at least a first step, right?
Right.
And I don't know that anybody, certainly I didn't, anybody thought this would be an easy conversation. I don't know that anybody thought it would get done before August 1st, you know? So as we sit here today, I'm not surprised by what's happened in the last few weeks. I mean, how funny is it today, Ted, that we think we finally got some debt ceiling resolution and the market actually went down, right?
Right. You know, that's what I'm curious about. So has the market already kind of discounted for all this stuff? I mean, what's happening in terms of the way that, that people who are, you know, in the financial industry look at the government? I mean, how big of an issue overarching this economy is the debt and the deficit? And are political people making too much of it, too little about it? Where do you think that fits into the...
Well, I think, first of all, in the short run, in the day-to-day, in the week-to-week, it's very political. I don't have to tell you that. And it's, I think it's very over, people overreact to it. Certainly, our inability to manage a balanced fiscal budget is a huge problem in the long run. But I think we know that, you know, and again, assuming we pass this thing tonight, we've made a step. Is it a big enough step? No. Is it the final step? I doubt it. So, you know, as long as I see progress in the long run, I'm going to continue to remain optimistic that we're moving in the right direction. Now, the problem occurs if we can't get this thing done and we can't resolve the complicated negotiation of managing how much taxes we might raise versus how much spending we might reduce. And that does create a problem. I mean, in the long run, we can't spend more than we make, right? You can't do it at home. You can't do it in your government. But it's a very different problem domestically right now than, say, Greece. I mean, how funny is it, Ted, that the interest rate on the 10-year U.S. Treasury right now is 2.75%. That interest rate actually went down last week in the middle of what is purportedly a debt crisis, right? Greece has bankruptcy problems, not insolvency problems. Where's their 10-year interest rate? It's at 22%. That's a much different kind of problem. Now, if we don't do something soon, we could end up being Greece. But, again, I think we're making some progress. The conversations are being laid out. The political strategy is being laid out. And as long as I continue to see progress along those fronts, I'm going to go back to the economy,
right,
and take it back to, will the economy support growing earnings? And will those earnings be in a foundation of stable interest rates? And if so, I'm going to continue to see room for optimism.
So where is the economy in terms of earnings? I mean, are you seeing the underpinnings of some hope? I mean, in Wisconsin, and I talked about this last Friday, we've seen some employment numbers go up. In June, I think we accounted for in the state for half of the employment growth in the United States.
Right.
What are you seeing in terms of earnings in, right here at home, whether some of the companies around Milwaukee Metro, around the state of Wisconsin, are going to be in a position to grow jobs?
Well, I think your point about employment in Wisconsin is right to the mark. You know, I mean, certainly as a manufacturing state, this has been a manufacturing-led recovery. So we're taking advantage of the you know, one of the positive pillars of the economy right now, which is export growth, you know, the ability to manufacture and ship things overseas. You know, and that's one of the great hopes for, I think, growth in the economy going forward is that whole story of exports. I mean, you go back to three countries, 40% of the global economy, right? Brazil, India, China, their growth is expected to be in excess of 7% next year. You know, you and I might continue to talk about the domestic situation, but really you're talking about 40% of the world growing at greater than a 7% clip. If we can take advantage of that, that may be something that helps, you know, us to take advantage of the global growth situation.
And so the weak dollar plays into that because it makes everything cheaper in terms of our goods going somewhere else.
Yeah, so if you can combine the expertise we have in manufacturing higher-end products, which, again, Wisconsin has A strong engineering base, a strong, specialty manufacturing base. If you can take advantage of that expertise and it becomes cheaper as the dollar weakens, you're going to see a lot more goods and services being shipped overseas.
So the state of Wisconsin, if they're going to be doing anything to help the private economy, they should be trying to do everything they can to help make matches between export economy and the goods and services that we manufacture here right at home.
Well, absolutely. And you take the picture to be, again, more of a national situation, you would say to yourself, the one way to fix all these problems, Ted, taxation or spending-wise, is to grow.
Right.
And if we can find ways to allow ourselves to grow, which is to compete on a national and an international basis, that's the real ticket to success here long-term. And anything that we can do that'll help our economy grow will dwarf the conversations we have in regard to taxation and spending.
Without question. Absolutely. Brian Kilb, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to kind of enlighten us about what this means as some context as we kind of get into this debate. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Ted, my pleasure.
All right, bud.
Have a good one.
You too. That's Brian Kilb from Landis & Company, Chief Operating Officer of a really nice Milwaukee story about a neat little investment firm here in town. Well, Brian basically nailed it. I mean, it's all about the underpinnings of the economy, which means that, if we can create an environment where companies can grow earnings, we can export products, if we can do all those kinds of things, job creation is going to happen here in Wisconsin. So part of the problem when you're a manufacturing-led economy in Wisconsin is that when a recession starts, we typically are the first ones in. We're typically the last ones in, but we're the first ones in, but we're the first ones out as well. So hopefully we're going to be in a position where we can continue to grow.